Good. Tonight is going to be a, I believe, a very short message, about as short as I ever preach. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we've been on Sunday nights learning a lot and getting teaching and doctrine in, maybe not as more response-type messages, but information-type messages. And this evening is probably the opposite. Many of you won't learn anything new, but you'll maybe need to respond. Maybe that's God's will, why the message is preached tonight. We finish up our financial lessons, the three quick lessons we did and on Thursdays. And so we're just going to talk tonight about when now is the time. When now is the time. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and down to verse 20. It says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. By the way, you can receive the grace of God in vain. You get saved, but you don't do anything with grace, and you don't walk in it, and it's a sad thing. And verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into when now is the time. And Lord, we just ask you to help us, as always, whenever we're speaking your word, whether it's witnessing, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching or whatever we're doing, Lord, we always need your spirit. We always need your help. We need your blessing. We're in a church service, and how many times you emphasized you'd be in the midst and you'd walk with them. Obvious, we need you here, Father, and that's what you emphasize. So I pray that you'd speak, and you'd. We meet in Jesus' name. We ask in Jesus' name for your presence, for you to speak, for you to help us to be able to obey when the time comes, whether it's continuing instant in prayer or whatever it is you speak to us about. Please help us to get this into our minds, so it's part of our character and so it's part of what we do for you. And just speak to us and make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, Paul says, we are talking to you for God. And I think that's very important. You understand that that is a process that God uses. That's a process that God might use you to do. You're the ambassador of Christ. And he says, we beseech you in Christ's stead. Christ is not saying anything to you physically. He is saying it to you through us. Okay. That is what God does. That's why God says we have this ministry right in this same area, hidden in earthen vessels. And so, because God uses humans to speak to humans. And he says, we are beseeching you as though Jesus is speaking to you, because Jesus is. He's speaking through us. And so God uses people. So you can be that. You can be an ambassador for Christ, where God gives you words and you speak for Jesus. You tell somebody something for Jesus. And what a great honor that is, amen? But also, on the other side, Jesus may speak to you through someone. It's weird. People want to say, you know, God's telling me to tell you this, but then when it's reversed, many people want to say, well, you know, I don't need you to tell me anything. I have God. God uses people. And some people are too proud for that. That's all it is. There's just some people are too proud for someone to straighten them out. And they act like if God came and told them something, they'd do it. But I don't believe that. I mean, if God sends you somebody and you won't listen to them, and your heart is so hard and so proud in that way, I don't think, you know, people plenty of times have said no to God in the Bible directly. And as God told Moses, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And so realize God does that. And he says this, he said that a couple times. Verse 20, as though God did beseech you by us. And chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also. And so they're doing that and speaking for God. And we see that. And second thing we see, they're telling them to be reconciled to God and, of course, you know, get right with God and get back there. But he says the time for reconciliation is right now. So he says in verse 1, as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For and earlier he said, be reconciled to God at the end of verse 20. Now chapter 6, verse 2, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In a time accepted. And in the day of salvation. These are time periods. These are windows. In the day of salvation, in the time accepted. Okay? So there is a time period where God is speaking. Now, we'll read many of the verses are going to say that. That's the message right there. There are periods of time, and God says, okay, I'm speaking to you now do it. But those periods have endings. And you've got to obey when you're told. Not, you know, I should do that someday. The someday, see, you can't accept, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You've got to realize there is time periods when you say yes. When God speaks, when it is now time, you do it. He says, I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is your time. This is your time to obey. Let's go to Romans 13. Go back a little bit. Now we'll just take a few passages to say that. So there is now time. When now is the time, you've got to obey right then. I like the sound when I hear a Christian. And it doesn't matter what period of time causes that in them. Sometimes it's someone. I talked to someone this week who a funeral made them say, you know, I've really got to get my life in order. And they're fairly young, but they went to a funeral of someone who wasn't that old. Matter of fact, went to 3 funerals in 1 week. And they said, you know, I really get. Sometimes you have somebody hit 20 and say, I'm not a teenager anymore. Man, I'm getting older fast. I've got to really get busy for God and get on track. Sometimes you have someone hit about 40. And they suddenly say, you know what? I've got to do what I'm going to do. Sometimes it's hitting 60 and 70 and saying, you know what? I've been putting this stuff off long enough. But there, I whatever period it is, it doesn't matter to me. I like when someone says, you know, I don't know how much time I have. I've got to get going. Because we take time for granted. We procrastinate in very dangerous ways. Romans 13, verse 11, it says, and that, knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Do you see this, the urgency there? It's time now. Hey, the time is far spent. We are coming closer to the end. It is time to cast off those works of darkness. It is time to do that. Sometimes a young person will think, you know, I'll just play around while I'm young and then I'll get back to God. And can I tell you, it is not that easy. Many of the person I've seen with those plans die first. Many have read about, and many of them hit their 40s and 50s and say, okay, I got to get back. I've been saying this for years. And finally, life gets bad enough where they finally say, okay, I'm going back to God. You just wasted your teens, your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s. You'll never get them back. God forgives. Yep, he forgives. And the time's still gone. He will not put you in a time machine. I wish there was a time machine. But there isn't. And so you've got to get on the ball. You've got to get on the ball. Do it now. It says time is running out here. Now, I want to say this. It is not always, God is not always telling you now is the time. It is not always now time in your life to do something. Okay? When God is speaking and talking to you, it's now time. But there is times, there is a time when someone's not ready to get saved. It's not now time for them. Now, They're pushing it. They're risking it. But no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And their heart is not ready. And they're not ready to receive Christ. And so I might go witness them and talk to them for a few minutes, plant a seed and or water or whatever. But they're not going to get saved that day. I understand. They're not ready to be saved. Now, that's bad for them. That's risky. There is a time when somebody's not ready to return to God. Their heart's still too hard. They're not repentant yet. They haven't come to themselves and found themselves in the pig pen. Now, anytime they can turn back to God, but God is not finished. As Israel was said of them, they need to finish their transgression. Okay? Now, anytime's good time to come to God. But there's a time when God says, okay, you're growing. I'm not really telling you to do anything right now. Just keep doing right. You're on the right track. You know, do this and your things you're doing are great. And God just, you know, as they did in Israel, they travel and stop and travel and stop and you're climbing the hill and you're climbing the hill and you plateau. Not backslide, but you just God's not speaking to you. He spoke to you, you changed, you're doing good. Now all of a sudden, boom, God's speaking. Now is the time when he's speaking. Good example of that is in the Bible, at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi finishes up with John the Baptist is coming, and he's gonna turn, last verse in the Old Testament, the hearts of fathers to the children, the hearts of children to their fathers. And then, boom, 400 years of silence. No scripture, no prophets that we know of. It's called the silent years. And we really, there's not a lot of record of God prophesying, sending the messengers, utter silence until then we join Matthew, go to the book of Matthew. And suddenly God breaks the silence. He finished saying, John the Baptist is coming and he's going to come, and then boom, silence comes. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, the kingdom of heaven is here. What's that mean? It's now time. You need to repent right now. It's here. John the Baptist wasn't there a month before this or a year before that or 20 years or 100 years before that. But it's suddenly time for everybody to repent. Why? Jesus is coming. And he's here. And it's now time. And it's time for you to respond. And so he's saying, now, the kingdom of heaven is right here. And John the Baptist says this over and over. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is among you. And they keep on saying, hey, you've got right now is the time. Don't delay. And John the Baptist brings that message as he comes back in the scene. Again, the message is coming. Okay, now I'm preaching. Get baptized. Repent. There's one coming after me, and you better be ready. Make your path straight because he's coming. Now it's time to respond. Now is the time. He says, it's at hand. So you don't find messages of non-urgency and to do this over time. You find messages of saying, okay, change now. I'm talking now. Listen. And you find that. Otherwise, and this is the key, you may lose your opportunity. Look at the book of Luke. You lose your opportunity when God speaks and you say, well, you know, God says, no, I'm talking to you now. Now is the accepted time. Now is your day of salvation. Luke 19. And verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, notice this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. See the moment past? Right? You see that? Not if you see that. The moment past. If you would have known what I was going to do, you would have repented. You would have been amazed. But now, your time's past. It's hid from your eyes. See, what we think is, okay, God's speaking to me about salvation, or God's speaking to me to change this thing in my life, or God's speaking to me to fix this thing. And I will do that. I really need to do that. I'm just right now not ready to do that. No, God's speaking. Is now's the time. You say, but I'll do it later. You know I need to do it. Wait a minute. You might not know you need to do it later because God may quit opening your eyes. Your time might pass. You might say, I'm going to get saved. Someday I'm going to get saved. And all of a sudden, 3 months later, you're like, you know, I'm not going to get saved. That stuff's just, I don't believe that. Some of you have seen that. God says, I gave you a chance. You accept the day came. You didn't take it. Maybe God in his mercy will come back for them a second accepted day. Maybe not. He usually doesn't. Okay? He didn't for Jerusalem, by the way. Okay? For the days, verse 43, shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and shall keep thee on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now again, we're saying the same thing. God's saying it different ways. Window, better go. You know what? The building's on fire. You know what? That stairway's open. But you know what? I got a couple more things to grab, and then I'll go down the stairway. The stairway may be on fire then. You better just go. The window is open. You better take an opportunity while it's there. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. So I don't know why I'm supposed to preach this message. It's a very simple message. You might not learn a thing in this message, and I have no idea. Maybe someone here and today, God's talking to you and saying, you know what? Your window's about to close. I've been talking to you about this, and you're not doing it. And so, you know what? I'm giving you one more shot, and I'll even preach a whole message out. If you don't want to do it, then it's on you. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the day of wilderness. In the wilderness. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now listen, there comes a hardening time. You thought you would, you know what you're thinking, you know. I do this all the time. You say, you know what? All right, I got to remember this, but you know, it is so clear to me right now, I know I remember it. I'm going to remember this, I got to remember this, I'm going to remember it. You go back and say, I forgot to remember it. I remember it so well. You ever have a number like that? You go, I remember this number. And you're like, okay, I got it down. Okay, and then you go do something, say, oh no. See, What can happen is God's speaking and he's touching your heart and your heart's tender and you say, I'll do that. And then sin starts putting a callus over your heart and you're hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. And pretty soon you say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. For a minute there, I thought that I should give that thing up, but there's nothing wrong with that thing. And that's, you get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's going to say that a couple times. You better do it today, verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Chapter 4, verse 7. It says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. So you must be very careful of hardening. I hate to say this, and I wouldn't give any indication, nobody would know who this is. About once or twice a year, I watch someone harden. And you may never know it. Last year, it was in someone's comments on an on-church day. It just so happened, and it had nothing to do with this message being preached at all. It just so happened, I watched somebody do it Sunday while I was preaching. Someone in church, I just watched, and somehow, and I don't know, sometimes I know, and I just saw it, that it was something that could have helped them, and something that, and something in their body language, and there's just a moment there, and I just happened to look at it at the same time, they just kind of said, in their, and I don't know if they did that, but they did, there's something in the body language that says no. And the same way last year when that happened to somebody, and someone, I said, they just crossed a line. And boom, it wasn't long before they're gone. And I see that once or twice a year. And sometimes it's a person who's God's working and they're on and off in church. And sometimes it's a person who's regular. I just see a hardening where all of a sudden they just reject God's voice. And I can feel it as a pastor. And probably it happens when I don't feel it. But I can feel it. I saw it Sunday. One of the services on Sunday, I saw it. And I just kept on preaching. And nobody knew who that was. My wife doesn't know who that was. My kids, nobody knew who that was. And I hope I'm dead wrong. But I saw it Sunday. And I said, man, God's just being good to us to speak to us. Okay? And God's speaking to you. And the least you could do is not get stiff neck and harden your heart, but say, at the very least, Lord, I know I need to, I'm weak. That's the very least you ought to do. because you harden your heart, God may say, you know, okay, fine. I'm not going to speak anymore. Remember, Saul at a certain point wanted to hear from God, and he wouldn't hear anything. I'm not speaking to you anymore, Saul. I'm done. Don't assume God's going to always speak to you if you rejected his voice. Well, just don't do that. Let's go back to Exodus. I have too many stories about that stuff, and I don't want anybody to think anything at all who they're talking about, and even if it's somebody not in the area and somebody I might have known in the past, but I've just seen that. I see people ruin things and think it's going to work out okay because they play too many video games and watch too much TV and read too many romance novels. Exodus 22. You're supposed to do things instantly. And even Israel was supposed to obey instantly. And just a couple examples. This is in the Bible. This is just, the message is mostly done. But Exodus 22 and verse 29 on tithing. Exodus 22, 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors and the first fruits of thy sons, and thou shalt give unto me. He says, don't delay. Delay is the deadliest form of denial. In Exodus 12. Just God says, when you give me something, don't delay to do it. If it's mine, give it to me. You know, you're in such trouble when you start delaying the tithe until you see if you get enough money to come in, and you're not going to tithe. Just let me tell you. Let's say ahead of time, if you don't give it as first fruit, you're not going to tithe. You'll have something to spend it on. Exodus chapter 12. And this is the Passover. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. And forever the Jews are supposed to eat the Passover meal with their staff in their hand, with their shoes in their feet, and with their loins girded, their robe tails tied up, ready to go. Because when God says, go, get out of Egypt. It's instant. It's time to go. I'm not saying go right now. You got to do this stuff and do this stuff tonight and everything. But when I say go, you go. And be ready to go. And so I just, the whole message is never plan to obey. Okay? Just don't ever plan to obey. Obey or plan to disobey. So whatever God says to you, whenever God's speaking to you, don't plan to obey. Obey. Amen. Because it's very dangerous to delay. It's very dangerous to delay. You do not know if God's mercy is going to continue, and he's going to continue to be merciful to you and continue to speak to you, and you'll continue, or if you'll be hardened. And so when now is the time, you say, yes, Lord. God says, pray, pray. How about Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? He's in town. God says, go outside of town. He just doesn't delay. He runs out in the wilderness, and then he says, go join yourself that chariot. He runs the chariot, and because he obeyed instantly and quickly, he got there when the verse was being read on salvation. What if he just said, you know, I'll go out there. I'm having a revival in town. I'll go out in the desert in a couple hours. He would have missed that man. He wouldn't have gotten saved. So just learn, and I've done it before where I delayed to witness to somebody, and God said witness them, and I should have pulled over and witnessed them. I've even, ashamed to say it, I've literally said, oh, Lord, I don't feel like doing that right now. And I drive by, and then I drive down the street and turn around, drive around the block, come back around, and they're gone. Just don't delay. And when now is the time, then now is the time. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Lord, I pray to be people who are, I guess it's not very deep or fancy, Lord. When you say jump, we say how high? Or we begin jumping. But we don't ask. We don't delay. We don't say, we don't plan on obeying. And I pray tonight, whatever your reason is, and I have no idea what your reason is, as I pray today, Lord, you whatever you want to accomplish in this message, I pray you do it. And I pray it become our attitude and our way of living is never planning to obey, but just when it's now time, when it's your time to obey, we would say, yes, Lord, and we would do it and not disobey by delaying and then keeping on delaying and keeping on delaying. And Lord, thank you for the times when you don't have anything urgent you're speaking to us about, but Lord, you know what to say tonight. And so we pray that you would just say it to hearts, and may those hearts respond now. And may you do a great work through that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just go ahead and keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and